It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Money for Lunch. The government shutdown continues. And quickly, first of all, I want to say thank you to all the men and women who are doing their job, doing it well, and doing it without being paid right now. Eventually, hopefully, you guys will get all the money that you're owed. Meanwhile, thank you. And I'm sure it'll be resolved shortly. What about you? Is the government shutdown affecting you? And if so, how? Let me know. Hit me up, Bert@BertMartinez.com. And looking for some stories. Maybe we'll interview on your show. Maybe we'll just talk about your story. Maybe we'll post it on moneyforlunch.com. So anyway, so how is it affecting you and how are you dealing with it? Give me the good, the bad, and the ugly. All right. The quote of the day comes from Stephen Covey, an old friend that, passed, 5 years ago, 6 years ago? Anyway, Stephen Covey. You can retire from a job, but don't ever retire from making extremely meaningful contributions in life. You can retire from a job, but don't ever retire from making an extremely meaningful contributions in life, by Stephen Covey. All right. I am being joined today by Craig Schroeder, co-founded and served as CEO of Pinnacle of Indiana for 18 years. Pinnacle was one of the largest Microsoft partners in Northern Indiana, helping companies develop their technology strategy. His strengths are understanding and aligning technology with business goals through his whiteboarding strategy sessions. His passion is helping individuals operate in their sweet spot. I like that. Operate in their sweet spot, a place where their passion and strengths intersect so they can maximize their potential. Craig Schroeder, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. You bet. I'm, I'm excited to have you on the show and be able to talk about some of the things that you've accomplished, and also talk about the ultimate manual, the missing guide to living a meaningful life. And this is I just thought it was a tremendous, tremendous workbook, for lack of better terms, manual. It's awesome. Very, very in depth, from a DISC assessment to accountability even. So real quick, how long from the time that you thought, hey, I got to put this book together, till the time you actually got it done, how long did that take?
Well, this one was about a year and a half. You know, I have a couple previous books out, and, you know, the part that was missing in those was the execution phase, you know, and, you know, we can all have plans, and I really wanted to arm people with executing the plan. So it's, I really put a lot of time into getting to your whole life plan boiled down to one page and making sure it was meaningful for people to execute against.
Yeah, absolutely. So is that where the life plan idea or strategy came from?
Well, you know, I'd ran that technology company for 18 years, started it with another gentleman. And, you know, as you grow, you just see different personalities come through. And I found myself mentoring all these different personalities, and, you know, just epiphany came, you know, people aren't self-aware as they should be, you know, and I think, and I say it in the book, I preach it all the time. It's self-awareness is probably the best gift you can give anybody. You know, the more aware you are of yourself, better you can position yourself to live on purpose, be happier at work, be happier at home. And that's why, you know, all the assessments from the DISC, like you mentioned, to the strengths, to the Myers-Briggs, to your love language, they're all about knowing yourself. So then when you start laying out your plan, you know how you are naturally wired. So you kind of stack the odds in your favor, I feel. And I just seen, you know, I mentored a ton of kids and a ton of couples that, you know, they just didn't do that first step. And they said, we want this plan, but they didn't really understand who they were to tee them up for success and stack the odds in their favor.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, this idea of self-awareness. It is tricky, and I think we get distracted, you know, with life and just trying to keep our heads above water. When, you know, let me put it to you like this. What is self-awareness to you? What does self-awareness entail when you're thinking about it?
Well, we all have natural strengths that we're born with, you know, like the Strength Finders 2.0 book. There's these assessments that just those five strengths, once you understand them, they don't change. Those are gifts that if you understand them, you can capitalize on them. You know, the DISC profile can change a little bit over time. You know, Myers-Briggs, which I call the 16 personalities version, that really doesn't change too much. So you get the, you know, even down to the, you know, the emotional side, your EQ or emotional intelligence level or in your love language. These are all just assessments that tell you who you are. So you know how to respond in certain situations. We all tend to have a reactionary point when certain things happen to us. But if you know how you are wired, you can respond better and you can just start thinking about where you want to go and what success looks like based on who you are.
Yeah, and I think you're able to sidestep some mistakes, right? I mean, we're all going to make mistakes, but I think that if you know what makes you happy, you know your, you know your, what makes you happy, what you're passionate about, what, you know, and also you're aware of what doesn't make you happy. Even though they may be offering you a lot of money, you're able to say, you know what, the money's great, but that's just not me. I don't want to do that kind of work, or I don't want to take on that kind of client, or whatever it is, because it's not aligned with who you are, right?
Yeah, I mean, most people always default to money, right? I mean, people don't usually define success across all five domains of their life. You know, we have our personal life, we have our family life, we have our vocation or job, then you got your community and some faith or belief system. And if you don't constantly think about success across all of them, it's like having a flat tire. You know, you're going to be bouncing on one of those, and it's just going to affect the other domains of your life. And, you know, when people define success, they usually say money. And that usually doesn't get to the root cause of going home happy. You know, I mean, my goal in writing this book is to really maximize the ripple effect of people going, you know, working in their sweet spot so they go home happy, their family's happy, their kids or whatever, they go out into the community is happier. It's just this happy ripple effect that happens versus you hate your job. You don't know why you hate your job. You're doing it because you're making money and you're providing, but then you go home and you're just mad. And that impacts people around you all the time. And I think it's just good to start thinking about that. Like you said, there's no perfect equation. You're going to make mistakes, but you should make mistakes because that means you figure out what you don't want to do. And you just try to avoid making the same mistakes over and over is what I tend to tell people.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things that I think that parents as well as the education system could do a much better job about the emphasis we put on success equals money. I know growing up, that was just something that was, you know, was talked about all the time. And you buy into that because there's so many things that you can do with money. There's so many things that you can't do without money and all that other stuff. And so, you know, the big house, the big car, the big salary, all that seems very alluring. But as we all know, there are people who, you know, as the example you gave, right, there are people who have these great jobs and make great money, but they hate life. And, you know, they're on their second or maybe their third divorce, or, you know, they're on, you know, they're on drugs. Maybe some of prescription drugs, maybe some of recreational drugs. But, you know, I think that we need to start placing an emphasis on, you know, having a rounded success, or you know, making success more, what do you call it, meaningful than just equating money to it.
Yeah, totally agree with that. It's, you know, having a meaningful life is way different than having a successful life, right? I mean, you could define success, but meaningfulness being having a grateful attitude, you know, giving back. You know, I grew up with nothing, so, you know, I had to put myself through school, figure out this path. And, you know, I made a ton of mistakes, but I definitely wanted to improve. You know, I have three daughters in their 20s, you know, and I was able to help them from the mistakes that I made and the stuff I didn't have. But I wanted to make sure they had what made me too. And most people miss that also. You know, we get character one way or another, and we always want better, you know, for families and friends and things of that nature. But you got to always remember the core, you know. That's why core values are important when you're doing life planning also. But, you know, the school system that you mentioned of help defining success, and but knowing who you are, so you know what is going to make you happier or happiest. And when you go to work, what gets you up out of bed? You know, I mean, when I used to do my daughters, when they were dating boys and things like that, I'd have them do that 16 personalities assessment. And it was pretty cool to see the interaction of, oh, that's how you act, and that's why you respond this way. You know, we have these natural wirings, and once we understand them, we can interact and work a lot better with people around you.
Yeah, no, I agree. I totally like that. This idea of a life plan and being self-awareness is, I think, something that really should be, I don't know, high school credit, college credit, something like that. It really needs to be inserted into our core system, education system there. But let me ask you this. So, okay, so how did you go from being a tech guy to being a life planner, where you're at today? Give us a little bit of your background.
Well, well, obviously, you know, I went to school and, you know, started the business, and, you know, you hire and adjust people's on the seats, and you have to let people go. And I saw this theme of people not being self-aware, and, you know, so I learned it in the job, right? And I'm like, wow, there's this repeating theme. So I started implementing assessments, so I knew where people were, because I had, you know, in my company, I had three divisions: an IT division, a development custom dev shop, and then an accounting ERP system implementation. And all those people are wired different, you know, I mean. So I said, wow, you got to manage these guys different. You know, accountants are kind of controlling, you know, dev guys are really creative, IT guys are just, they want to get things done and feel powerful. You know, I mean, it's kind of, they have just different wiring. Now, that's always evolving. I don't mean to that to be a blanket statement, but the takeaway is they're all wired different. And so I start doing these assessments, and then I talk about it, and then we talk about the position in the company. So long and short of that, you know, I didn't know what life planning was, you know, but I just knew the assessments and self-awareness aspect was really helping me grow our business. And, you know, then I'm a continuous learner. I love learning, you know, whatever it takes, podcasts, books, audiobooks. And I ran across a life plan, just a ebook that was real simple. And I told my wife, I said, you know what, I'm going to do this. So I locked myself in my home office for a weekend and took 2 days, and came out, and I said, we got to sell the business. Because, you know, when the first version of the life plan is reconciling your priorities with your actions, you know, and for me, you know, I'm a faith guy, my wife, my daughters, you know, work and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, if these are my real priorities, my actions in my everyday life aren't supporting those priorities. And you know, I was like, so sold the business. She supported me 100%, which is great. Got an awesome wife. And then I did start doing some executive coaching, started diving into this life planning thing and found out we can get certified in. So my wife and I went and got life plan certified, continued to do executive coaching and wrote a couple books in between then. And I still do some IT consulting and I'm working at a really cool company now, helping them build leadership programs and build the culture around this. Because when you help people understand this, you know, you could see a momentum in companies and then they take it home and it's just really cool. So that's kind of the short story of how it all happened, but it's pretty neat how it unveiled.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. It's, and kudos to your wife. She's supported you. That's nice. It's always, that's always nice to have that support at home. But yeah, you know what? I think again, as we, you and I've been talking, we get caught up in this rat race and then we forget, you know, what is truly important. I always tell my kids that 95% of the stuff that we are concerned about is not important. You know, how many likes or followers you have on social media, for most of us, it's unimportant. Now, if you have a, you know, if you have millions and millions of followers, then I think you have an obligation to, you know, harness that resource intelligently or responsibly, right? And you know, but I think for the most part, social media is like, I don't know, it's like chewing gum for the brain. I mean, you know, it can keep you pretty busy, but at the end of it, you have no real forward progress, right? And I think that I have two teenage daughters left at home, and you know, it's my constant thing that 95% of the stuff that they're hung up now will not matter, to, you know, in the next few weeks, the next few months, things of that nature. It just, you know, as humans, we get hung up on way too much. And the other day I was giving a talk and I said, you know, some people's whole entire day gets ruined because somebody cut them off on the way to work. And, you know, really, how important is that? You know, so somebody accidentally, based on your interpretation, disrespected you or cut you off or whatever you want to call it. But again, 95% of the stuff that people get hung up on, including myself, really don't matter.
Yeah, we have a lot more power against that than people exercise. You know, I gave up road rage 8 years ago when I started on this journey. I just said, I'm done. You know, I mean, and you know, people cut me off. I'm like, interesting. I just don't want that to ruin any of my time. You know, time's our only non-renewable resource, right? So I don't want to waste time if I can do something about it. You know, and then you talk about your daughters. I don't know if you ever did that, the 16 personalities assessment. If you go to 16personalities.com, it's a Myers-Briggs. It's free. It takes about 4 or 5 minutes. I've done that with so many kids, and it's so cool. It gives them affirmation of who they are. It gives them affirmation of direction they're going in college. You know, I mean, it just gives them more confidence in themselves instead of looking at social media and for others to give them affirmation. You know, and that's kind of a heady but cool thing when you start thinking about it. And we do need to watch what's going to matter and really what's going to matter to them in 10 years. For us, what's going to matter in 25 years? You know, I mean, you got to look way forward. That's why one column in the life plan, pages 10 to 30 years, whatever that thing is, what is going to matter? And then you just back it down to, okay, so what is my next 3 to 5 year plans? And then what am I working on this year? And then what are my quarterly goals that I'm going to hold myself accountable? And it all just pulls it together. You know, and I took it one step further, which is to add a eulogy section of how do you want to be remembered across those five domains of life? And that really gets it's hard, it's heady. It's, you know, it gets, you know, as a person, as a family, father, you know, how do you want to be remembered? And, you know, you want to just minimize regrets in life, you know, and the top regret everybody has is I did what everybody else told me to do instead of doing what I wanted to do. And you got to let that sink in. And it's like, yeah, am I just modeling other people, or am I doing what I really want to do? Which is, you know, it's something you got to just consciously think about and get into the forefront of your mind.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I remember I was, to me, it was late in life. I don't know, maybe I was late 30s, early 40s. And, you know, I just trying to make other people happy or to justify what I'm doing or anything like that. And I tried to, you know, my goal was not to explain myself. You know, you could either love me and support me or, you know, just ignore me, but don't get in my way kind of a thing. Right. And so, but real quick, I want to give this website, 16personalities.com.
Yep. It's one of the free assessments. There's only one that you have to pay for in the book, but I made it mostly, it's free. It's just your time. But yeah, 16personalities.com. It's really cool for like your daughters and well, it's good for everyone, but for the millennials that want to get things done fast, it's a 5-minute assessment and boy, it just nails them. I have not seen it be incorrect and then make sure they do a deep dive and read it. And they're like, oh my gosh, this is me. Oh God. You know, I've seen it happen over and over. Then you have them share it with their friends and you know, if they're ever going to date or whatever, it's just good for them to start out on a positive foot of this is how I am and this is how we can work better together.
Yeah. Yeah. And for those who want to follow along, the book is The Ultimate Manual, The Missing Guide to Living a Meaningful Life, available on Amazon or wherever good books are sold. The author, Craig Schroda, is that right? S-R-O-D-A?
Yep. Schroda.
Schroda. All right. And then the personality test, the free personality test that we're talking about right now, 16 personalities, 16personalities.com. And you can do this, and takes less than 12 minutes. And, I'm looking forward to doing that. So, right now, when you think about making a meaningful contribution, what is your mission? What would you like to accomplish?
Well, my big mission is to have 100,000 people do their life plans by 2025. I think the ripple effect in making communities better, happier, more respectful, I think can be really, really huge. And I set up a simple log it on my website, craigschroeder.com, if you've done it, because I'd like to keep track of this to see if I'm on track or not. But that's my mission. And, you know, that's my mission, but my personal purpose is to help other people be better than they thought they can be. And that's when I make decisions, it's around those two things.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's amazing. I love that. Wow. So if 100,000 people create their life plan, you know, I keep thinking about the impact, the ripple effect that will have, right? Because all of a sudden they empower the people around them and so on. And that one person can end up affecting, literally impacting tens of thousands of people.
Yeah, and that's the plan. I mean, I just think it could be a better, happier place out there. I'm not a downer at all. I'm an optimistic guy like crazy. I just, people, you know, I see them in work where they're just grinding it out, you know, because they make work all of their life instead of part of their life, you know? And
yeah,
I mean, when I sold the business, I had to kind of unwind me, the CEO, and I said, well, who's Craig? You know, so there's these other parts of life that I was pseudo aware of, but I, you know, my life was my job. And that's a lot of people are like that. And that's kind of another message I'm trying to get out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that being self-aware is a great gift. I can't wait to finish the rest of the Ultimate Manual, The Missing Guide to Living a Meaningful Life. And I think, like I said, this is something that really should be introduced earlier in life versus later in life. But I think, at least for me, you know, you have to slow down long enough to ask those questions, right? Who is Craig? Who is Bert? Who is Sally? Who is Jane? You know, you gotta kind of put the brakes on and take a day or three or whatever to start working on that.
Yeah, I tell everybody, it's your life. You want to be intentional about it, or are you just going to run through it? You know, I mean, it's probably the most important thing you could work on, you know, you, because you know the impact it has on you and your family and the people around you.
Absolutely. All right. So let me ask you this final question, because we're getting low on time here. When you were putting the book together, the Ultimate Manual, any surprises, anything that kind of caught you off guard, any maybe, I don't know, favorite moment or anything stick out?
You know, going to the eulogy level was an epiphany for me, because I had everything else and I've been working on this one page plan. Cause, you know, when you have multiple page plans, they rarely get executed, right? Because it's too much. And
right.
You look at this every day and you're like, yeah, this is my life. This is who I am. This is where I'm going. This is what I'm working on today, this year, and this is where I'm going. But I didn't have that eulogy section in there. And I'm like, just put another dimension on, God, how do you really, really want to be remembered? I mean, and once you go to that depth, it crystallized it gave me affirmation, and it crystallized a lot of the other things in the format to make sure it's really a useful workbook. And I made it intentionally a workbook because I don't want people to read and not do. I want them to do and execute. So I guess the eulogy was a big standout for me as I was putting this together.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, interestingly enough, I'm excited about going through that process. You know, my dad, who passed away last year, I think was, like a lot of people, he did not, could not, would not deal with dying. He was not a man of faith, so to him, death was like, it was it, final. There wasn't anything after life. And he lived until he was 95, and he worked really hard to try to leave a legacy. But I think that a lot of people, like, you know, are like my dad. They want to avoid thinking about something as final as death. But I'm looking forward to that. And having you back on the show and talk some more about the Ultimate Manual.
I look forward to it. You might want to try to do the 16 personalities today while it's fresh. I mean, it's 5, 6, 7 minutes, whatever. But it kind of just and do a quick self-reflection. It's really cool, and I highly recommend it. But I look forward to talking with you again too. And I hope you go through it and it opens you up to some different thinking about your life and being intentional about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to thank you so much for stopping by. And if you guys want to check out what we're talking about, the book is The Ultimate Manual, The Missing Guide to Living a Meaningful Life by Craig Schroeder, or Craig C. Schroeder, available on Amazon or wherever books are sold, good books are sold. And as always, again, thank you for your time today and looking forward to having you back again.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. Good stuff there. Oh, hit the wrong button. Wow. Anyway, good stuff there from Craig Schroeder. And I love the idea of the Ultimate Manual, the Missing Guide to Living a Meaningful Life. And you know what? Everybody has an interpretation or an idea of what a meaningful life might be. But what if at an early age, meaning, I don't know, junior high, high school, definitely college, what if that was a requirement to do an exercise or two or three to find out what success really means to you, who you really are, and what are you passionate about. Maybe for you, it may not have changed anything. Maybe it would have changed something drastically. But give me your thoughts, Bert@BertMartinez.com. Let me know, do we put too much of an emphasis on material things, money and big cars and big houses, and therefore a lot of us are miserable? You know, we're working and some of us are successful, but yet we're miserable. As always, my friends, thank you so much for stopping by. Thank you so much for sharing this episode with everybody you know. Let's help everybody have a more meaningful life. And as always, remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.